Professor, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And we got a special guest today. So, Peyton, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, and please, please don't talk about his body. That's all I'm saying.
It's hard, Pete. It's hard. But here's the deal. We don't just have a guest. We have one of my just mentors, friends, great encouragers, someone who I didn't really think about the spiritual gifts. Sometimes you meet people and you think, I know the list of spiritual gifts in the Bible is not exhaustive. There's overlaps, but like the gift of hospitality, that's we all know it's a gift. It's not listed in the Bible as one. But Mac, I think, has the gift of inspiration. The gift that allowed Jesus to just say to young men, follow me. And Wesley had this. How else did he get 300 people to become circuit riders? Well, I spent a number of years with Mac Lake, and Mac Lake has the gift of inspiration. You get around him and you want to be like him. You want to do what he does. And it's not Mac just, acting cool or hip or, winking and pointing. It's that Mac has a spiritual gift, and it's almost like the embodiment of imitate me as I imitate Christ Jesus, what Paul was able to do. And so obviously you can hear my very great respect for Mac. He was a former boss, but I still consider him a mentor. I learn from everything he publishes, every email I get in my inbox. Mac is constantly teaching me. And he is the founder, by the way, of the Multiply Group, which you should definitely check out. And we'll give you more links to that later. But he's the author of numerous books, including The Multiplication Effect and Mac's latest book, Leading Yourself, Developing the Character and Competency to Lead Yourself. So, Mac, welcome.
Peyton, it is so good to be with you and Pete. And Peyton, man, I love you. From the moment I met you, man, just have a deep admiration, respect for who you are, what you do, how you do it. Our years working together were some of the best memories and years in my entire ministry. And serving alongside you was, it was fun. It was fruitful. And man, I miss working alongside you on a regular basis like that. So it's good to hang out with you today and spend this time with you. I've said for years that you are just my favorite church planting voice. When you came to work for me those years ago, I was like, man, you need to be the primary voice in church planting because I love your philosophy. I love the way you teach. And I love the way you approach church planting. So it's an honor to be on the show today with you and just to be able to spend some time with you. It's always a joy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, all these years later, let me say, thank you for not firing me. But if someone was going to fire me, I'd be glad it was you.
He tried to quit on me one time. It was about halfway through. And we were sitting on a bench in Carlsbad, overlooking the ocean. They said, Mac, I need to step away from this. And I was like, man, why? I thought you loved working. I thought you loved what we're doing. I do love what we're doing. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, Mac, I'm an evangelist. And I'm not getting enough time to evangelize because I'm doing this work. I said, wait a minute. I said, Peyton, you work for the North American Mission Board. The word mission's in it. I will add evangelize the loss to your job description. Don't quit. Anytime you're out there evangelizing, that's part of your job description. You work for a mission board. So do not feel guilty taking time away, and don't overload your schedule doing so much that it takes you away from your primary gift, man. You're an evangelist. And if you're out there evangelizing, you are doing the work that we're called to do. And you that's what you're paid to do. So let's add evangelize the loss to your job description. And he stayed another couple of years.
I did.
I left before you.
Yeah, you did. You did. You know, it's so funny, man. But again, that's just a perfect illustration of why it was so good. You were literally the best leader to this day, the best leader I've ever served under. So your series of books on, you know, leading others, leading yourself, like you are personally experiencing your leadership, you are the voice that I think people ought to be listening to. So it's our pleasure to share today. So we want to start off today, kind of getting the big picture about this book.
Well, before we get to that though, Peyton, because it's been so long since Mac's been on the podcast, I got to ask Mac again the question, just so our listeners can hear it. How did you first come to faith?
Yeah. I grew up in a little town in West Virginia, a town of 500. Mom and dad were deeply, deeply committed to the faith. Dad was Sunday school superintendent at our little Baptist church that ran 70. Mom was the choir director and pianist. And we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, every time doors open, that's just what I was raised in. And I watched them not be religious. I watched them love Jesus. And that calls me to love Jesus. I remember as just a kid walking out of my bedroom and looking down the hall to the left when I'd wake up in the morning and my dad was sitting there in a chair with his Bible praying and reading. Every night before I go to bed, I'd walk down the hall and I'd look to my left into their bedroom and there's Mom sitting in the bed reading her Bible and praying. And I saw that before me at all times. And when I was young, my dad would begin to feed me materials to just cause me to grow my faith. And so at 9 years old, I recognized that my sin separated me from God, and that there was something in my parents, a relationship with Jesus that I wanted. And so I surrendered my life to Christ at 9. And because of my parents, they just fed into me and helped me grow in my faith. And so I never had that stray away from, you know, backsliding story. Their stability in their faith created a stability and strength in my faith as a young kid.
Well, that explains a lot. I mean, we're talking about leadership, you know, you experience it in the home. So if we kind of get the big picture of leading yourself, why did you write it? And what need were you seeing in leaders that prompted a book like this?
You know, it's funny. I wasn't going to write it. And I wrote, I thought I'm going to write a book series for every level of the leadership pipeline, except for lead yourself. And so I wrote Leading Others, 8 competencies to help somebody learn how to lead others. Leading Leaders, 6 competencies and character traits and how to lead leaders. Lead a department, lead the organization. And so I was done. I finished leading the organization. I was done. In fact, the foreword in every book says, I am not going to write Leading Yourself. And so a guy called me one day and he said, Mac, our church uses your entire series. We love it. When is Leading Yourself coming out? That's why I said, John, I'm not writing that book. He said, why not? I said, John, my voice doesn't need to be added to that part of the series. I said, you know, there's so much good material out there on how to pray and how to study the Bible, how to share your faith, you know, all the basics of the faith, basics of discipleship. My voice just doesn't need to be added to that. And he went, that's not what I need at that level. I said, well, okay, I'm confused. What do you need? He said, I want that bottom of the pipeline. I want my team members to know how to live on mission and how to have emotional intelligence. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. And it sort of opened my eyes like, oh, I was looking at this wrong. And And so I began to chew on it. I began to throw it out there to other people who were using the entire series and ask, what are you looking for? And I was floored. People kept coming to me going, I'm so frustrated with my team because they don't know how to work together as a team. They're not teachable. They don't have emotional intelligence. They don't know what their life mission is. They don't know how to influence people around them. And so I was like, oh my gosh. And so I put all those together, and then health is my passion. So I wrote a chapter on that, maximizing your energy is that chapter. And it's all about my five principles of health. And so that's how the book was born. It's a guy who said, I don't want the basics of discipleship. I want the basic aspects, the competencies for leading yourself. And so that's how it was put together.
You know, it's interesting because when a lot of times people are writing a book, you know, especially in this type of field, right? We will see things in ourselves that as we're writing, and we'll be like, you know, this is something I got to work on. Did you ever have any of those kind of moments as you're going through the Leading Yourself book and you're like, hey, you know what? This is an area right here that I need to really take in and address, or, you know, this is going to benefit me. Let me go ahead and share this as well, like with people. Did anything like that happen while you're going through it?
Yeah, I think every chapter, you know, hit me in one way or another, for sure. I would say the one that probably hit me the hardest as I was writing it, and it took me the longer to write this chapter than all the other chapters together, probably. It was the chapter on emotional intelligence. And I was doing some research on emotional intelligence as I was writing it. And I was like, nobody's addressing this from a spiritual perspective. God's not brought into the equation. And so I started processing that and going, okay. And so in that chapter, I describe what I call the emotional intelligence triangle. And so when I begin to feel an emotion towards somebody, then I have to have an awareness of what that emotion is. I have to be honest about it. I have to have empathy around it. And then I need to get God's wisdom. So those are the four pillars of emotional intelligence. And so if I'm having trouble with someone, then I have to process it, but I have to process it through those four things. But I have to ask, okay, God, why am I feeling this way? What did they do to make me feel this way? And I've got to process my relationship with God first, but then I need to look at their relationship with God. And so, for example, I had to use this morning because I had a conflict this morning, and I started processing, okay, why is this guy upset with me? Why is he feeling the emotion he's feeling? What is his relationship with God? Let me try to understand that. And when I begin to process that through the emotional triangle, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's wounded. This guy's wounded. There's a hurt in him. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh, my empathy for him. So I called him immediately because he texted me something and said, hey, I'm basically offended by something, you know, that I said to him. And so I called him immediately. I said, hey man, I'm so sorry that you were offended by that. It was not my intent at all. And I listened to his heart and tried to understand, why was he wounded? Now, I could have very easily not built that equation into my processing. And I could have gone, hey, listen, man, I don't know why you're offended by what I said. There was nothing offensive what I said. And I don't know what's wrong with you, but man, you better back off. But because I processed his relationship with God and tried to assess best I could his level of maturity, his woundedness, it gave me an empathy to go, you know what? I want to treat him as if Jesus would treat him, not prove that I'm right and he's wrong. And so the empathy led me to what's God's wisdom in this situation and how do I act based on God's wisdom? And so that has helped me a lot. But even that emotional intelligence triangle, I can apply to myself. And so when I feel an emotion that's inward directed towards me, that I'm frustrated with myself or beating myself up, then I've got to be honest. Why am I feeling it? Mm-hmm. Uh, I, I have to acknowledge it. Then I have to be honest. Why am I feeling it? Then I have to have self-empathy. Okay, wait a minute, wait a minute. What would, if my best friend were feeling this, what would I tell them? Okay, well, I'm feeling it. God, what do you want to tell me? And how do I have empathy for myself instead of keep beating myself up and then get to a place where I can grasp God's wisdom and God's truth so that I can act on this emotion that is internally directed at me that's negative, that I can act on it in a way utilizing God's wisdom to eliminate it and grow from it is what I wanted to do. So that chapter was very helpful to me. And then I'll tell you this real quick. The books came in and Cindy started reading it in the morning. And every chapter she came to me, she said, "Mac, let's talk about this." And every chapter we talked about it related to our marriage.
Mm.
So we got two invitations over the past few months to speak at two different marriage conferences and retreats. And we actually taught the principles in the book because we processed every chapter through the lens of our marriage. And it was so helpful. In fact, we gave the book to every couple that came to this conference because we're like, y'all need to read this together.
Amazing.
Because it's going to, if you lead yourself better, it's going to improve your marriage. And so anyway, that was a surprising result of the book as well.
I love it, man. And what you just unpacked was almost like an illustration of how within the system, when it comes to, like, you know, leading your teams and, you know, all of the different, you know, levels, because this is part of a bigger system that goes, I mean, it goes really deep. And so you coming down to this level, you mentioned Cindy, who is your wife, and many of our listeners may or may not know, Brandon Lake is your son. The worship leader that, you know, is just blown up. I mean, he's like number one out there winning awards and, you know, just really, but so much of that, I mean, I got to know Cindy, I got to know the two of you, not just you, but I mean, you guys are a power couple. You're a leadership couple. You do stuff together. And Brandon really is kind of a, I know you won't take any credit. I know you'll say, "Hey, look, the Lord did his thing in Brandon," but honestly, your leadership in him, I mean, it just shows. When I see him, I see you in him. And I think that, you know, it's just really amazing what you just said, where, you know, these different levels where you just spelled out how you used it in someone outside your family, someone within your family, and then internally how you're processing things with, like, leading yourself, as the book title indicates.
It's another reason leading yourself is so important, because more people are watching than we realize.
Yeah.
And there is something about the spirit of a man that can be caught more than taught.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that you can't just depend on everything being caught. It's got to be taught and caught. Cindy and I were talking this morning about the passage in 1 Samuel. And Saul's like trying to kill David, and he sends, I think, three messengers or something like that. And David's with Samuel. And these three guys come to grab David. And what happens? They get in the presence of Samuel and they fall down. They begin to prophesy. And then Saul sends three more and they fall down and they prophesy. And when they get in the presence of the man, there is an atmosphere. I imagine this atmosphere that encircles the man. And when you get close enough proximity, the spirit of the man changes you. And, I can't take credit for Brandon to a degree. I can't, you know, it's God's favor, you know, on him. But yeah, I mean, we created an atmosphere, I believe, where Cindy and I were leading ourselves well.
Mm.
Because of God's work in us, not because of who we are or what we've done. It's God's work in us. And so there was an atmosphere that was created that he was in and receptive to.
Mm.
and that transform him soul, his soul. And so many times we think about how we lead ourselves in the presence of our congregation. We think about how we lead ourselves in the presence of our team. But how are you leading yourselves in the presence of your family? How are you leading yourselves in yourself in the presence of your wife? Mm. Is there a spirit about you? You don't have to say a word. Mm. It can literally transform the people around you because the spirit that emanates from you, and it's not you, is Galatians 2:20. You know, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is not me. This is not my life. You know, it's a daily surrender so that when God brings anybody into the orbit of your proximity, the spirit can change them. By them stepping into that atmosphere. Yeah. Now, that's why it's so important to lead yourself well, because your kids can catch this.
Well, and Jesus had this, right? I mean, he totally had that. You step into that, like anywhere Jesus was, he was the king. That's why he said, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom, it was like this atmosphere radiating out. You experienced the kingdom before you believed it, just by being around Jesus. You didn't have to believe anything. You already, and Jesus, all he could do was tell parables. Kingdom of God is like this. Well, they had experienced that already in the natural world. Now they're experiencing it spiritually, and he's just relating to them what the kingdom is. So I love that. The system, you know, and I'll say system with great affection, because you know, I'm a huge believer in systems. I think that Paul had a system and a systematic approach. I think you can trace him rediscovering Jesus's system of leadership, disciple making, and applying it. You can literally track in Acts where he's rediscovering what Jesus did with greater devotion and commitment. And Wesley, of course, anytime the kingdom of God seems to advance, somebody rediscovers that system. But this is part of a bigger leadership development system. Can you just kind of tell me a little bit, or tell our listeners, unpack the system a bit, and talk about what you've seen it do for churches? Because leading yourself is like, you could buy this as a standalone. You're going to get a ton out of it, right? But at the same time, it goes a lot deeper. Like it's a journey that you start when you grab hold of this material.
Yeah, it is. It's a system. It's designed very intentionally. And I'll tell you two things that are really underneath it. Number one is my life verse. It's Psalm 78, 72. David shepherded them with a pure heart, and he guided them with skillful hands. So David was a great leader because he had leadership spirit and he had leadership skill. Both of those things. It requires both. And so I wrote the series. So the entire series, it's 32 leadership competencies, but each one is paired with a leadership character trait. And so, for example, one of the in leading leaders, one of the competencies is navigating conflict. Well, that's paired with patience. Why? Because if I can teach somebody how to navigate conflict, but if they don't have the character trait of patience embedded in their soul, they're still going to blow up conflict. Okay. And so if I can take the character trait, I like to put it this way. If I can take the character trait of patience and pour it on top of navigating conflict, it supercharges that competency. Chapter one of leading others. The competency is discipling others. The character trait is compassion. And so if I have a heart of compassion, it makes me a better disciple maker. So every one of these is paired together because I want leaders to develop the spirit and the skill of a leader. That's what makes an effective leader. If we're only focusing on their competency and not their character, then we're building great people who go, man, this guy can lead. He can lead. He's a great leader. I'm going to follow him anywhere. But they don't have the character. They don't have the spirit. And so people follow him for a while and go, you know what? I'm just a widget in this guy's machine. I'm just a cog in his machine. I, I'm not going to keep following him. Or some people have leadership character. And a lot of times we bring people on our staff or key volunteer leadership positions because they've got leadership character, but they don't have leadership competencies. They can't lead their way out of a paper bag, so they don't get anything done. And people follow them for a while and they go, man, I love this guy. Man, this guy's got great character, but they get nothing done. And people go, you know what? I tried to follow him, but he's not taking us anywhere. And this is why this series is designed to build the character and competency. Now, the other thing underneath this series, to me, that is so important, Peyton, it's a conviction I have that the local church should be raising up the best leaders on the planet. We have the best leader that ever walked as a model of leadership. We have the best book ever written, and we have the Holy Spirit within us. Tell me why churches are not raising up the best leaders on the planet. And they're not. And survey after survey, since 2008 all the way up to 2023, I can show you several surveys that show the number one struggle that churches have is developing leaders. And the evidence of that is I get churches calling me all the time going, hey, Mac, we're trying to find a children's director, a student director, a worship director, a groups director. We can't find anybody. Peyton, you know this. I get denominations and networks call me and say, hey, Mac, we're trying to find a church planter in this city or this city. I'm going, don't you have churches in those cities? Yeah, we do. Are they not raising them up? Everybody's trying to find staff. Everybody's trying to find church planters, and they can't find them. And they go, well, there's a leadership shortage. There's a leadership problem. No, there's not. It's a discipleship problem. The root of the problem is discipleship. The fruit of the problem is a lack of church planters, a lack of potential staff, people who are giving themselves to full-time ministry. Yeah. That's the fruit of the problem. We got to get back to discipling leaders. Jesus modeled it in his ministry. We can disciple people to live like Jesus, but we got to go beyond and disciple them to lead like Jesus. And that's why I wrote this series, literally because I can find no content out there that intentionally, sequentially disciples leaders in a systematic, intentional way to grow their leadership character and competency, to move them to greater levels of spiritual influence and spiritual leadership. I can't find anything out there. So I'm not a writer. I'm West Virginia educated. I'm not that smart, you know? But God led me to write this series and, you know, by his grace, helped me complete it.
Okay, don't anyone believe what Mac just said. He's brilliant. He's amazing. You got to be in a room with him sometime.
But you know, you know this, Peyton. It's that intentional system, and then embed in that system is a transformational process. You know, what drives me crazy is churches struggling with leadership development in America, especially. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, America is the most leadership-rich nation in the world. We have more content. Google it, YouTube it, Amazon it. You're going to find anything you want on leadership. But yet, believers are struggling to lead in a healthy, effective way. Wow. This is insane. And so what it tells me is that content is not the solution to America's leadership problem.
Mm.
Process is.
Yeah.
We need an intentional process. And so these books are designed to take us back to Jesus' ancient way of developing leaders, which is apprenticing.
Mm.
And so if you take leading others, okay, and you want to raise up some leaders, I tell people all the time, get two copies, find two people, and raise them up to the leader level. Walk them through it slowly. Make sure they get to practice these competencies and learn them and grow in them and practice them. Apprentice them to lead as you lead. Let them watch you. Give them opportunities to practice. And so it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. It is literally as easy as finding two people who say, yeah, I'm willing to lead, and say, come watch me. Here's some content. Let's learn these five competencies. And once you feel confident and competent, I'll release you to lead your own group or your own team. It's that easy. Now, leading yourself's a little bit different. I wrote that so that it can be used, yes, in an apprenticing situation, but it can also be used in small groups.
Mm.
Here's why I did that. It's very intentional. What I would love to see is I would love to see churches get a hold of this book and have their small group leaders lead a small group of people through this book so that in as they go through the book, they're going to write a life mission statement. They're going to learn emotional intelligence. They're going to learn how to be a team player and take initiative and work together well with others. They're going to learn how to be teachable. They're going to learn how to maximize their energy by integrating five health practices, and they're going to learn to develop their influence. Now, you take your small group through that. Peyton, here's the hidden strategy underneath it. Chapter one is live on mission. Chapter six is develop your influence. See what's happening?
Yep.
Get them to identify their purpose. You walk with them for a season, and then you say, you know what? You're the type of person that can have influence. Have you ever considered leading? And out of if I had a small group of 10, I would find two, three at most, say, hey, you two, you three, come here a minute. I see leadership potential in you. Your life mission's incredible. I see that you are a person that can have influence. Can I take two to three of you through leading others? And I'm going to begin to share leadership in the context of this small group. And we're going to learn these competencies, and you're going to learn the competencies of leading a small group.
Mm.
And I'm going to walk them through, I'm going to apprentice them through that over a semester. And those that are ready, release them to start their own group. Those who aren't ready, they keep apprenticing under me until they build the confidence to go out and do it on
them. That's great.
And Peyton, you can take this, and you can take this if you want to plant churches out of your church. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say you got a young man in your church, 21 years old, and he got saved. He gets in a small group. He's being discipled. He's growing like crazy. And then all of a sudden, that small group takes him through leading yourself. And somebody goes, hey, you got potential to be a leader. And then somebody takes him through leading others. And once they take him through leading others, they release him to lead a small group of high school boys. He leads high school boys for about 2 to 3 years. After a period of time, you go, you know what, kid, you're a good leader. I want to make you a leader of leaders. And so I want to take you through leading leaders, teach you the skills and competencies for that level. And then we're going to give you 3 to 5 small group leaders that you're going to begin to encourage, coach, give feedback, help equip. And he does that for 2 to 3 years. Then you go, hey, we just lost our youth pastor, just lost our youth director. I think you could be our next youth director. I'm going to take you through leading a department and teach you the skills that you need to run an entire area of ministry. He does that. He serves as your youth pastor for 7 years. Then all of a sudden you go, kid, it's time for you to go plant a church. I'm going to walk you through the 6 competencies of leading an organization. And it's going to take a while. I'm going to model some things. We're going to learn some things, but I'm going to send you out to plant a church.
You just described my entire ministry career. That's exactly how I got in. Youth director, sat it out. I was placed in way before I felt ready. I was challenged. You can do this. I'll be right here. Be training wheels. And then boom, moved into assistant pastor and then sent out on the mission field to plant. So
now imagine you go back and do it again. But this time there are 32 competencies and character traits you're going to strategically, intentionally learn along the way.
Mm.
Didn't the have leader that's apprenticing you models it for you and gives you opportunities to practice. Game changer.
Yeah.
Where can people grab a copy of Leading Yourself and how can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can grab it on Amazon or multiplygroup.org. Either one of those sites, you can get it there. And if you want bulk order, just email me at MacLake@multiplygroup.org. And, if you want to do a bulk order so that your small groups can go through, just let us know. We can give you a discount code for that.
And is there anything that you'd like to close out and say to leaders who are listening right now?
Yeah. Don't underestimate the power of leading yourself. People are watching.
Mm.
And they're watching closer than you think. And, Peyton, I appreciate your introduction and talking about inspiration. And man, I just think to change a life, to really change the trajectory of somebody's life, if you do these two things, you challenge them to be everything God's created them to be. Challenge them.
Mm.
And then model for them so that you inspire them.
Hmm.
I can speak a challenge into you. Okay. And I can lead somebody that way. I can speak a challenge into you, but I can supercharge that challenge by living it in front of you and provide inspiration.
Wow.
And here's the question. I'm getting ready to speak next Friday on this topic and talking about and do it through the lens of Jesus. But what's it like to be led by you? It's a really important question. I think every leader needs to wrestle with. What is it like to be led by you? And I can tell you this, you might be a great leader. You might have some great vision casting. You might know how to delegate and lead killer meetings. But man, if you're not leading yourself well, you're destroying your credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so leading yourself is the foundation of leadership. And if you're not doing that well, that's what I love about Jesus. When he came on the scene and he was announced by John the Baptist as the Messiah, what did he do? First, this is ridiculous. What a bad strategy. Comes on, the guy who's preparing the way holds up a big billboard, said, "Here, he's here, he's here." What's he do? First thing he does, disappears for 40 days. He's preparing his soul for the mission. And as I say, we have got to wake up every morning, prepare your soul for the mission,
yeah,
and determine, start that day, not to impact others, but to lead yourself well, the start of every day. Am I starting every day, opening my phone and responding to emails? Am I just scrolling for curiosity, or am I waking up in a thick presence of God that prepares my soul to lead myself well so that I'm not influencing anybody? Is God living through, Christ living through me and doing what he wants to do in and through me that day to impact those around me? And if we lead ourselves well, then everything else takes care of itself.
Mac, I know you well enough to know that pregnant pause when Pete asked that question. I knew, here it goes. It's something prophetic's kind of going to bubble up to the surface here. And I know for those of you listening, whether you're driving in your car, you're at the gym, whatever it is, you're walking, you're sitting in your study, wherever you are hearing this, take that as a prophetic word. Lead yourself before you lead others. And, you know, guys, by all means, like I cannot, you know, Paul said, you know, you may have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers in Christ. And there is something special about someone who mentors you and pours into you. And I, much like Mac, did change my life. Much of what I have done since meeting Mac has been turbocharged as a result of meeting him. He did change my life. So I want to encourage you guys to grab this, leading yourself, go to the Multiply group online, order your copy, order the whole system if you can, because they really do fit together. But our guest today has been Mac Lake, and we have been talking about leading yourself. Thanks for joining us for the Church Planner Podcast, and we'll see you next time. Pete, sign us out.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.